Thank you. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Right. Good morning, everyone. I suppose it is for you. This is the first time I've given a presentation by Skype, so almost anything could happen. At least you won't be able to throw things at me this way. I thought really to introduce my area of work, I'd just talk about the two areas which I'm principally concerned with. The role of Director of Digital Engagement about digital engagement as such, how we use digital techniques and online channels in the way the UK civil service operates in policy development and in service delivery. And the second part, and which that's, I think, seen as adjunct to that, how we free up what we call public data, the non-personal, non-sensitive data collected in the course of government operations, the data that the taxpayers already paid for, and make that available for reuse. A lot of my work, I mean, in my script, came from the Power of Information Task Force report, published less than a year ago, which is quite astounding considering the amount of distance we've travelled since then. It was a team chaired by Richard Allen, then Public Affairs Director of Cisco, now with Facebook in the UK, and had a number of the leading activists in this area involved in its drafting. We practiced what we preached in that, in actually showing a draft report, getting comments on that, and so tuning that up as we went. I'm just getting a little message here. Sorry about that. That's all right. Then they, and that was published less than a year ago. And it's, uh, 26 recommendations, and really four main themes of that. First, the open information. There are a lot of things that have happened in the past 6 months. Open innovation, how we open the public services up to innovative ideas coming from outside, and we get people working with us. Best to innovate. Having open with citizens about policy development and about direction of design of public services. And very much open feedback, getting feedback on public services and improving them in the light of that. Open information, sometimes open data, has probably been a major area of activity over the past 6 months. In my first day on the job, on the 2nd of June, yeah, I had a note from the Prime Minister saying the Prime Minister would be grateful for a prospectus of what we now call the Public Data Project, how to make public data available. There was no great hurry about this. Close of play on the next day would be perfectly adequate in terms of putting a plan together. So we put that up to the Prime Minister, and the next week he announced in the House of Commons that he'd asked Tim Berners-Lee, in education of worldwide fair, and Professor Nigel Shadbolt, University of Southampton in the UK, to help us drive up the opening up of government data in the next few months. Really, I think seeing by four objectives. Yes, this was about increasing transparency, but that was only part of the objective. There was also a big agenda within the UK on involving citizens in the design and in the delivery of public services to get improvement in public services. So that's complementing, if you like, top-down minimum standards, performance targets, and the like, by empowering citizens to feedback on public services, particularly at the local level, and how those could be improved. Thirdly, the regional power information done, that government collected for the purpose of government, used for the purpose of government, didn't actually then run out of value just because the government had ceased to find value of it. So there was value available if that was released so others could use it, both for social and community functions, but also for allowing new businesses, new innovative uses of that data to grow. And fourthly, this is part of the agenda that Tim Berners-Lee and Professor Nigel Shadbolt have brought, that the skills of data, leaking data, is part of the future of the web, moving from a web of documents to a web of data. And the UK had the opportunity to develop particular skills in that area and be a beacon of practice. Since the Prime Minister's announcement on the 10th of June, we established a developer preview of data, what we call data.gov.uk, and that was available on the 30th of September. We've formed a developer community which has over 2,400 people in it. It's free to join, and there's some community functionality that comes with it, together with a preview of some of the data sets which are free to use. We've nurtured applications for that data. Importantly, we've established, and this was in an overall view of the next stage of how government could operate, called the Smarter Government, that was published last month, set out a clear set of policy principles for public data. How data will be made available, it's for reuse, about its licensing, about the publishing data that underlies our websites, as well as giving that an end citizen access to that data. So we've agreed a more open license for reuse that's already available to the data.gov.uk developers, and in Smarter Government we committed to release further specific data on weather, health and transport. And we're in the process of launching an extension of this to local government, which has public services in the UK, and there's a lot of interest in there. Okay, I'm back. I've done that. I can, that's fine. So we launched the developer preview through Twitter. Had a good deal of interest in that, and that's gradually built over the months. Next slide is a sort of screenshot. This is quite a simple, actually a Drupal-based developer site. We're targeting this at developers, so we're not aiming to make it particularly glamorous, it's not functional. And the slide after that of a newspaper is one of the first application ideas that came along, and it's something called a postcode paper, which is a fascinating idea. It takes data from the various data sets on data.gov.uk and represents it in the context of the UK we call postcode, which is the postal address code for about 20 or 30 dwellings. So it's a hyper-local paper showing the public services available in your area, the standard of those services, how they're performing against the norm. And this was launched very quickly. There was a lot of discussion about how this could be commercialized, monetized, and so on. Next slide. These are the lead principles set out in Smarter Government, which I've referred to, that we will publish public data in reusable, machine-readable form. We'll make it easy to find through at least one common access point, which is data.gov.uk. We'll use open standards and recommendations of the World Wide Web Consortium to do that, and we'll increasingly move to linked data, and we'll release under an open license, which allows free reuse, including commercial reuse. Moving on to open innovation, the Power Information Task Force itself had, I think, the first of these competitions for ideas about data, which we call over 450 entries of ideas on how public data could be used were came in, ranging from curry to closed circuit television, a range of winners, but really there were a massive number of ideas in there, some ideas about public data that we didn't actually have. So actually the post office turned out not to know precisely where all the post boxes were. And someone called Matthew Somerville has actually built a site which has now crowdsourced the geographic locations, normally with people using GPS, of about 30% of the UK postal boxes. We've taken the innovation team into the mainstream of public service reform through a group called the Innovators Council, and again, tools for public engagement about public services. Open discussion. We've been looking at really how we can use social media, not for its own sake, but how to move the dialogue between citizen and government from communication to collaboration, how we can use it to share opinion and information, and promote discussion about public policy, and to get citizens engaged and sharing in the design of public service delivery, what works in their area, what are their priorities, and so on. And how we can reduce some of those barriers to interaction. That, you know, there's always been the mail batters, but they're often complaints, and those are normally when something has gone horribly wrong, because it's quite a high barrier to sit down and write a letter. So one of the things we've been looking at is how can we use online feedback mechanisms to get a wider range of experiences of people's contact with public services. And taking things like just not, it was really awful, but actually it was quite good, but it would just be better if so. So just flashing through some areas where we're using this. Social media in RAF careers. This is actually a site built on Bebo, geared at engaging teenagers and getting them to think about a career in the Royal Air Force. Next slide, we used Bebo in a campaign called Building Britain's Future, which was an overview of future government policy. And this was a stage campaign where we used Bebo, which ended up with three young people presenting their ideas to the full UK cabinet. Next slide, the Department for International Development have done a great job with using social media, sometimes quite simple ideas, such as here's a picture story, to really get an immediacy and authenticity of what their project officers are doing in the field to combat poverty overseas. Next slide, using collaborative discussion tools to really get a debate going on long-term food policy. And the Department for just ran that over the summer here in the UK. It's not just, of course, government talking to citizen. Next slide, please. The NHS Choices Service, which is probably one of the leading government for citizen channels, which is about health, has an extrapolation set of services, and here's a shop of it's called the Diabetes Blog, where people suffering from diabetes report their experiences for other people suffering from the condition. And then on the next slide, Major Paul Smith, who's in the Territorial Army, was at the Permanent Joint Headquarters at Northwood, now deployed to Helmand in Afghanistan. And he's taken with him Twitter and a blog, and this is again engaging very close experience of what our troops are doing in Afghanistan, the problem is and the crisis. And then the next slide is here's a BC Ed Rogerson in Harrogate, North Yorkshire, who uses Twitter to engage with the citizens in his town. He's a neighbour constable, and a bit of sort of general messaging in there, but also direct engagement with some people. We've used social media consultation, probably one of the things I noticed, some of this has been happening in New Zealand, has been to move away from, there's a consultation document and you've got 12 weeks to write an email to actually get a discussion going on the particular ideas in that consultation. And here are a number of examples we've done. We've also used that in the next slide on how we prepared some material for the climate change conference in Copenhagen, and sort of UK student manifesto that our ministers could use. And we also use Twitter, although we like to stress our use of Twitter is a tool in communication rather than in itself. And finally, on open feedback, we're encouraging government websites to give citizens the opportunity to feedback. Here's the Ministry of Defence website, which each page has to rate this page on. And next slide. This is not the NHS Choices, but other sites for patients, which allows individual patients to report their experiences using the NHS. Interestingly, 48% of the posts on patient opinion are positive about the service received, which is interesting and quite hard. So what's next? Next slide. On data, we'll be building on the beta of data.gov.uk with more functionality and more data. This is the start of a process to create some infrastructure that then more data can come along and more functionality. We're going to be working with the application developers to ensure the public data can be easily used to create economic and social value. We'll be increasing the adoption of linked data standards. We've been taking Tim Berners-Lee's advice of raw data now, but then think how you link it. We need to make this part of the normal usual in government with all the processes, licenses and systems that go with that. In social media, we'll be seeing the increasing use of social media as part of normal government communications, not as a digital silo, but as part of a blended set of communications of policy making and of service delivery. We're capturing learning from early adopters, including some of those examples that I've shown, and building both the capability, the skills with the government, and the confidence of doing that. So that's basically our agenda. It's an exciting time in the UK, as I think it is elsewhere at the moment, and there are lots of opportunities here. I should just stress that, you know, it's not something that you get an enormous change overnight. It's something where you get an adoption curve, early adopters, easy to do, gain confidence, and build out, and mainstream. And that's where we are on our trajectory at the moment. So with that, thank you, and I'll take a few questions.
Does anyone have any questions for Andrew?
Hi there, Julian Carver. Question about linked data. We're really just starting to see that term being used in kind of open government circles. So it's fantastic to see that. Obviously, you will have been influenced by Sir Tim Berners-Lee pushing that. What are some examples where you think linked data is going to be useful and relevant in the open government context?
I'm sorry, I couldn't really hear that. Could you repeat the question, please? I think the thing about government data is these features of the silo of government. So we've got health information, we've got education information, we've got crime information, and so on. And we reflect the those cycles of government. And so where we'll be looking to use linked data to start with is to really measure various silos by common reference data. So some of that's geographical data, and some work's already done by the Auckland Survey on standard ontologies for ground reference. Standard names of it's one of the roles of government, but